evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, July 8, 2016. Sporadic gunfire continues in the capital, Juba.
We started to hear gunshots coming actually from the Kololo suburb in Juba near around the U.S. Embassy. So when we heard about the gunshots, we just see people running up and down and up and down, knowing exactly where to be the cause of the incident.
And UNMISS condemns an attack on a UN personnel in South Sudan.
Such an act constitutes a grave violation of the Status of Forces Agreement between the government of South Sudan and the United Nations. UNMISS calls on the authorities to investigate this incident and bring the perpetrators to account.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. But we first go to Juba for some breaking news. There are reports of gunfire in Juba at this hour. It's unclear at this time who is firing the gunshots or where the shots are originating from. President Salva Kiir is reportedly about to address the nation about the latest violence at this hour. Our reporter Tito Justin is in our VOA Juba office and says he is too afraid. He had gunshots outside the building. He says residents are sheltering in place and staying indoors.
Yeah, just by at around 4 p.m., we just sit in the office and we don't know what is happening. And we just go to the post. From outside, people are running from up and down and we don't know what happened. And shortly, we started to hear gunshots coming actually from the Kololo suburb in Juba near around the U.S. Embassy. So when we heard about the gunshots, we just see people running up and down and up and down, knowing exactly where to be the cause of the incident. Now, when we try to ask from other people what is going on, but they could not tell us exactly what is on. So people just running. And shortly, after just 30 minutes, we're in our office, near our office, where there are three bullets, just near our office. So as people continue to run up and down, the whole town, people are losing their job, going home, and others are running. So this is the situation.
Did you get a good look at some of the gunmen? Do we know who was shooting who?
This is what we don't know exactly, because the gunshots, we just in the office, the gunshots are in the Kololo suburb of Juba. So we don't know exactly at this point. We don't know what is going on. We are yet to know that.
What about where the gunfire was concentrated? Could you tell us a little bit more about the place that you just mentioned?
The gunshots are coming from Kololo suburb in Juba, around the area, the U.S. where the U.S. Embassy is located, just around that area. So this is where right now where the gunshots, just actually people are shooting around that area. So also, you know, in Juba, as I told you before, near our office, we have three bullets just outside the fence of our office, just three sporadic bullets. And we don't know who is shooting that because outside is not safe for us. We're just in the office, in the fence.
And Tito, I understand that everyone is still sheltering in place, staying indoors, trying to be safe. But even just looking outside the window, could you give us an idea of what's going on right now at this moment? Is there still gunshot? Do you still hear gunshots going off outside?
Yes. Again, as you know, what happened since yesterday, when there were gunshots between the SPLM, IO, and the government forces yesterday, this actually created fear into the people, inflicted fear into the people. People actually are not in the mood of staying. Like when I was in the town, many people did not even open their shop in fear after of any violence that will come anytime. Now, right now, the issue, so far I know is, I don't know right now who are those shooting, because this is a new shooting in Juba, different from what happened yesterday. So it is still too soon to know what is happening right now. As I told you before, we are to know. But what so far I know right now is civilian people closing up, running up, down, looking for safety to see what is the future.
That's South Sudan in Focus reporter Tito Justin speaking to Ayen Bior during the past hour or so from our office in Juba. Five soldiers were killed and three others wounded during a brief shootout between SPLA's loyal to President Kiir and those loyal to first Vice President Riek Machar in the Gudele suburb of the capital Juba last night. The two sides are blaming each other for the incident. As Bonifacio Taban reports for VOA from Juba, reports of sporadic gunfire continue near the airport and the presidential compound known as J1.
The two rival group of soldiers exchanged gunfire for 10 to 15 minutes shortly before 8 o'clock last night. The sound of gunfire caused panic among southern of Juba residents. SPLA spokesperson Brigadier General Lul Raikong blamed SPLA IO force for starting the violence at a checkpoint.
At about 7:55 p.m., a vehicle carrying bodyguards for the first vice president opened fire on security forces that were carrying out a routine search on vehicles passing through a local clinic checkpoint. That hostile fire resulted in deaths of five SPLA soldiers and wounding of two others.
Kwang said the military is treating the shootout as an isolated incident. He said the two sides will carry out a proof investigation to establish who is responsible for the violence. Kwang is telling Juba residents that the capital is calm after the government deployed force to strategic areas to prevent tension from escalating.
Security situation is under control. Law and order was immediately restored yesterday. We are doing more, like you have just heard from me, that we have taken additional security measures in terms of manning of streets, searching of vehicles that might be occupied by people carrying illegal weapons.
But Nyarji Romans, a deputy spokesperson for First Vice President Riek Machar, accused force loyal to Mr. Kiir of starting the shootout.
The incident actually took place in Gudele Road when two people from our protection unit of SLIO were coming back from the office of the First Vice President in the town. Basically, they used to go every day to the town because members of our soldiers in the office, the one protecting the office. So they went there to check on the soldiers that we have in the office. On the way back, it's where the incident happened in Kudele.
Roman confirmed the situation has returned to normal after Machar and President Kiir spoke by phone and ordered their commanders to stop the situation from escalating.
I want to tell the public that they should not panic. The situation is now calm. The leadership of the two forces, they ordered the forces to go back to their barracks and then to start the investigation about the incident.
President Kiir and Machar were due to meet later today to discuss ways of ending unnecessary gunfire. The two leaders are also expected to discuss the establishment of joint security operation force around the capital. For VOA News, I'm Bonifacio Taban in Juba.
Waki Simon Wudu contributed to this report. The United Nations Mission in South Sudan, or UNMISS, and the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission are condemning the resurgence of violence in parts of South Sudan, which has left dozens of civilians dead or injured over the past week in Juba, Wau, and Bantu. In a statement issued today, UNMISS reiterated its call on all parties to end fighting and refrain from inflicting any additional violence against innocent civilians. Tito Justin has details for VOA from Juba.
Both UNMISS and JEMEC issued statements today condemning the recent incidents of fighting in many parts of the country. UNMISS says some of the attacks were attempts to target its own employees. UNMISS spokesperson Santel Paswad condemned what she calls an indiscriminate shooting attack on a senior United Nations agent's officials last night in the Tomping area of Juba.
Such an act constitutes a grave violation of the Status of Forces Agreement between the government of South Sudan and the United Nations. UNMISS calls on the authorities to investigate this incident and bring the perpetrators to account.
Passad says the UN and the international community will continue to assist the people of South Sudan on their road to peace. At the same time, Passad warned all South Sudanese forces against targeting United Nations premises.
The Special Representative of the Secretary General and Head of the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, SRSG Margaret Loy, urges all parties on the eve of South Sudan's fifth anniversary of independence to cease from engaging in violence and to focus on the implementation of the peace agreement for the benefit of all the people of South Sudan.
The JEMEC says reports of shooting at various sites and targeting innocent citizens as well as members of the international community underscores the deteriorating security situation in Juba. But Passat says that will not deter the UN from carrying out its mission in South Sudan.
The UN remains resolved in fulfilling its mission in South Sudan and supporting the implementation of the peace agreement for a peaceful and prosperous country.
Analysts are calling for a quick investigation into yesterday's shooting between forces loyal to President Kiir and those loyal to Riek Machar and all other recent deadly clashes. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Juba.
South Sudan marks its fifth birthday tomorrow amid the latest violence and a growing economic crisis. Deadly fighting erupted yesterday in Wau before today's clashes in Juba. Lisa Schlein has more on what the international community is saying about the latest violence from Geneva.
After more than 20 years of civil war, South Sudan became the world's youngest nation on July 9, 2011, brimming with optimism about its newly independent future. Those early hopes have evaporated as the country has moved from fighting the North to fighting itself with devastating consequences. The UN Refugee Agency reported Friday that conflict has forced nearly one quarter of the country's 11.3 million people to become displaced within its borders or in neighboring countries. Children make up the majority. The peace agreement signed by the government and opposition last August has not ended the violence. Late Thursday, five government soldiers were killed in the capital Juba in a brief shootout with opposition troops. UNHCR spokeswoman Melissa Fleming tells VOA such sporadic fighting is commonplace and has even spread to previously unaffected areas. This, she says, is adding to instability and more displacement.
Displacement is a reflection of the state of the country and whether it is becoming more peaceful or it's becoming or staying as violent as it was. And unfortunately, at the fifth anniversary today, we have to report that the violence continues, the hunger continues, and people continue to be forced to flee their homes.
Fleming says there has been no major return movement from countries of asylum during the 9 months that the ceasefire has been observed. During that period, the UNHCR reports, the number of internally displaced people has risen by 100,000. At the same time, it says about 140,000 more people have become refugees, bringing the total number of South Sudanese refugees in neighboring countries to more than 860,000. Fleming says this makes South Sudan the world's fourth largest refugee-producing country and second largest in sub-Saharan Africa, after Somalia. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, activists push for investing in girls' education and health. We'll have more on that when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. Question today.
Is there anything you completed simply because you were told you couldn't?
Actually, in my life, all my plans, they are all going on well. There's nothing which has defeated me, and people can say, for you, you are just doing this one, you cannot manage. Actually, I've not gone through that experience.
Yeah, actually, there is. When I was in secondary school, people were telling me that I should not take science section. They say that I cannot make it. So I decided to take it and I did it. I did science section and it was very okay.
Yes, actually, when I started my primary school, some of my friends were telling me that I will never get number one. But because I see it was a challenge, but I try my level best. After all, I was number one.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
Drivers Association in Jonglei are asking the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or OCHA, to offer more jobs to residents. The Jonglei State Drivers Union accuses the UN and other aid agencies of not hiring enough local drivers. But a Relief and Rehabilitation Commission official says local drivers outnumber those from other areas by a wide margin. Jacob Achek has more for VOA from Juba.
Jonglei State Drivers Union has accused the United Nations and other international non-governmental organizations operating in Jonglei State of refusing to hire local drivers. The union also accused the UN and other agencies of only hiring drivers from greater equatorial regions. The drivers' union went so far as to issue a 72-hour ultimatum to drivers from other states to leave their job in Jonglei State or risk the wills of local drivers who would take the law into their own hands. Makwala Yuen, the head of the Jonglei State Drivers' Union, says local youths didn't have jobs and went aid groups to recruit drivers who are from Jonglei State.
If they need drivers, they should come and take the drivers within the state. Even though one is from another state and they came here to Jonglei and they apply and they make an interview here, but not to employ the people in Juba. Relocation of the driver or relocation of the person which is working is not impossible, because for that issue, as we are localese, we should not allow that.
Nyona Mul, who drive a commercial vehicle in Bor, accused aid agencies of denying local drivers a chance to compete equally for job with drivers from other parts of the country.
We need competition to be open. Everybody should be known. We have no competition on this state and this and this. That is what we need. But we don't need the illegal. Because some of the drivers should be brought like Central Victoria, Eastern Victoria, illegally, without competition. Because mostly those who are working now, we are not the decision for the Jonglei.
Jonglei State Deputy Director of Relief and Rehabilitation Commission, James Jock Allier, says state authorities are trying to resolve the local drivers' grievances. Allier says state officials have convinced the drivers' union to suspend its 72-hour ultimatum for non-Jonglei State drivers to leave the state. Jock denied aid agencies are deliberately excluding local drivers from employment opportunities.
We request partners to give us a number of drivers and see how many drivers who are from here. And it seems like it is not that. I've been shown the number of drivers, and we are going to have a meeting tomorrow with the representative from Drivers Union to share with them the number of drivers who we have in Jonglei and how many people belong to local drivers. So I think the issue is going to be addressed.
Jock says an assessment conducted within Jonglei State found that 88% of the drivers employed by humanitarian agencies are residents from Jonglei State. Only 12% are South Sudanese national from other states. For VOA News, I'm Jacob Achek from Juba.
Youth who took part in a practical skills training program at the Tindoka Vocational Training Center in Isidi Nyambio say the program is giving them hope they will find jobs and be able to support their families. As we hear from Gift Friday for VOA Nyambio, more than 30 youth completed 9 months of training at the center.
Let us clap for Jacob taking his certificate.
The Master of Ceremonies calls out the names of dozens of graduates to receive their certificates for completing 9 months' skills training at the Tindoka Vocational School. 29-year-old Justin Singba Martin, who learned carpentry and joinery, says he decided to register at the school after being unable to find a job for several years. Despite having a business administration degree from Mikese University College in Yambio, Martin says he is confident that mastering carpentry and joinery will enable him to find a job.
I decided to do it because it's more marketable. I can do it as private. I can also help work in a company. I can also build. I can do a lot of things, so it will help me.
25-year-old Susan Payo trained as a driver and auto mechanic. Payo says she decided to learn driving because there are only a few female drivers in the state. She says she believes her new skills make her employable.
It will help me because if I go to any organization and I apply there for driving, I know they will pick me, they will not leave me. This will help me if I get a job.
26-year-old Jervas Mijipai studied taxation at Mikese University before enrolling at Tindoka for a plumbing course. He says he too believes With his newly acquired skills, he will soon find a job which will allow him to take care of his family.
My aim was I want to go outside there helping people. If their toilet is having a problem, then I can help them. And even when their water is having a problem, I can go also and connect it with them and repair to them. With all that, I will not even demand them to give me more, but the little they will be giving me as more as I get experience on what I'm doing.
The vocational training school has already had 420 graduates, including 184 women. Tindako School Principal Abdoulaye Kamil says the recent graduates include 18 Congolese from the Mapondu and Ezo settlements whose studies were sponsored by the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR. He says giving young people skills can direct of their future.
Idleness always creates problems. At times they go and join very bad groups and become even a problem towards people's security. So the importance of this institution here in the center to train them, give them skill, so that they become self-reliant, they don't think of going anywhere or create any problem against the community.
Budo State Minister of Education, Pierre Philip, says vocational training can guarantee employment in the state.
When you are in a group, you can easily be identified and you can be supported. For example, if we have a student group who graduated from here and they did carpentry and they are producing desks, and we know these are children, students from Tindoka, we will give you the work as a Minister of Education if we need desks.
Tindoka was founded by Education Minister of the former Western Equatoria State in 2007 to provide opportunities and technical job training for people who lack the chance to further their education aspirations. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Yambio.
The South Sudan government has launched a campaign ahead of the World Population Day to advocate for investing in girls' education and health. As we hear from Tito Justin in Juba, the campaign also focuses on protecting girls' rights.
The Ministries of Culture, Youth and Sports, Health, Gender and Social Welfare are partnering with UNICEF, the United Nations Population Fund and other international and local NGOs to implement the campaign for girls. Government and NGO officials will sponsor radio talk shows, school debates, essay writing contests and panel discussions to encourage parents to keep their daughters in school and to protect their rights. The campaign also encourages young people to take a leadership role in advocating, planning and implementing teenage girls' events and activities. Nadia Arok is South Sudan's Minister of Culture, Youth and Sports.
South Sudan has the highest teenage pregnancy rate. It has been estimated at 300 per 1,000 live births and 18.4 per 1,000 adolescent birth rate. Young girls are often forced into early marriage. It is estimated that 40% of girls in the country are married before age 18. This practice has been a major impediment to girls' school attendance.
Arup says only 6.2% of girls complete primary school, while more than 20% of females drop out of secondary school due to earlier pregnancies. Arup says only 28% of South Sudanese girls between the ages of 15 and 24 read and write, while slightly more than half of South Sudanese boys are literate. She says poor girls face many hardships, including sexual assault.
Gender-based violence negatively impacts both individuals and communities in South Sudan, and early marriages and sometimes forced marriages for teenage girls just expound the challenges facing the females in the country. Population displacement due to the conflict and natural disaster coupled with high level of poverty exacerbate gender-based violence incidents.
The United Nations Population Fund is one of the key partners helping South Sudan's teenage girls. Experience Fandira is the UNFPA representative to South Sudan. She describes why it's so important to empower teenage girls.
When a young girl becomes pregnant, of course her future is completely derailed. She'll stop school, probably she will get obstetric fistula. It's really a devastating for everyone. So if we can really join efforts to make sure that we prevent those girls from becoming pregnant before they are mature, I think it would be a very good contribution to the social transformation of South Sudan.
Scopus Taban Lokabang represents the Committee for Gender, Child, Social Welfare, Youth and Sports in the National Legislative Assembly. Taban says the country must change its constitution so that there are specific laws protecting girls.
So we have taken it in Parliament and we are in the process of amending this constitution. And you know very well that we have a National Constitution Amendment Committee after our peace agreement. So that committee, as it initiates the amendment of this constitution of ours, then definitely that issue of marriageable age, which is not specific, shall be rectified.
The campaign targets policymakers, young people, and ministries that focus on teenage girls. Both local and international aid agencies have had similar campaigns in the past years, but there is very little tangible impact on South Sudanese girls. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. Eyewitnesses say heavy fire broke out near the presidential compound in the capital, Juba, this evening as President Salva Kiir was preparing to make a speech to the nation about the recent wave of violence in the country. It is unclear exactly who was firing the gunshots, which panicked residents. Our reporters say they too heard gunshots outside the VOA office building. They say residents are sheltering in place. Both Mr. Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar urged residents to be calm, with Machar saying measures will be taken so that peace is restored in the heart of the city. Five soldiers were killed and three others were wounded during a brief shootout between SPLA soldiers loyal to President Kiir and those loyal to Machar in the Gudele suburb of the capital, Juba, last night. The two sides are blaming each other for that incident. There were reports of sporadic gunfire near the airport and the presidential compound. The two rival groups of soldiers exchanged gunfire for 10 to 15 minutes shortly before 8 o'clock last night. The sound of gunfire panicked residents. SPLA spokesperson Brigadier Lul Ruai Kwong blames SPLA IO forces for starting the violence at a checkpoint. And finally, tomorrow marks the five-year anniversary of the country's independence. No celebrations are being planned by the government. Government officials say they don't have the money for such celebrations this year. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song South Sudan Independence by Dynamic.
Ina mark there. Kedai no asa. Ina ligo independence. Is inside dynamic. Wele talo tuko de. Apuma. Belete na South Sudan ligo independence. Dunia kulugali ina nasigo wikalis. Minju bale turiti na badaguna woyoi. Mashakin futu, belete na jedi. Independence, belete na ligo. Belete na ligo. Independence, belete na ligo. Belete na ligo. Independence, belete na ligo. South Sudan ligo. Independence, belete na ligo. Wanyanyanya, gebila taki, gebila tani kulusawa. Motoro kanenzil
Maginezil pipe
Wo jo 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 Mina kulu wa kulu min sahan wahi Sipu tatani Leyal te inda de South Sudan Wo ja ya Bele te na ligo Bele te na ligo Bele te na ligo Independence Sogo
We have been listening to Dynamic with the song South Sudan Independence. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thank you for listening. We invite you to join us again on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. You have a peaceful night.
South Sudan,